What's up, Wayfinders, and welcome into Disney My Way, episode number 133. My name is Lightning Lane, ka-chow, and on today's episode, I'm going to be previewing my upcoming Disney World trip. I'm super excited because as of right now, I'm just about a week away from going, and I've got a lot of really cool experiences that I'm going to get to do, a lot of other fun things planned for while I'm there, so I'm going to be sharing those details with you all, be giving some predictions for how I feel like the week is going to go, and we'll see how many of those things come true. But first, we do have some news to go over, starting off with this. Fantasmic over at Disneyland will be returning on May 24th, 2024. And this does come to me as a little bit of a surprise because, you know, at one point we got the news that it was shut down because the Maleficent dragon caught on fire during a show, and then it seemed like, well, it's not coming back right now. Maybe it'll come back by the end of the summer. Then the end of the summer rolled around and we started to hear rumors of, well, maybe closer towards the end of the fall. And then it was just like, actually, it's just suspended indefinitely. Like, it's not coming back anytime soon. And then now all of a sudden here in November, we get this news that, oh, it's coming back in May of 2024. So I'm excited because, you know, obviously Fantasmic is a great show. I think Disneyland deserves to have it shown there as well. But I definitely think it came to me, at least, as a little bit of a surprise, just because I thought they might have wanted to take the opportunity to move on and do something else there, put in a new show over at that area. But hey, I guess not. And while I am a little bit bummed because I hoped that, you know, maybe if they were going to build a new Maleficent animatronic dragon, that they would replace the one at Hollywood Studios with a newer version that looked like the Disneyland one. That's probably not going to happen now, as they're probably going to focus on just getting a new one up for the show out in Disneyland. But it's okay. It's whatever. We'll continue to use our crane-looking dragon over at Hollywood Studios. But I am excited that Fantasmic is returning in May to Disneyland. I think I did talk about on our last episode that Festival of the Arts is going to be starting up on January 12th, 2024, but I don't believe I had the end date the last time I talked to you all. So we do have that end date now, and it will be ending on February 19th. So if you are going to Disney anywhere between January 12th and February 19th, make sure to head on over to the Festival of the Arts, because it is one of the coolest festivals that I think Disney puts on, just because it does some really unique things. You get to look at some really cool, you know, things that people have made, you know, that are both Disney related and non-Disney related. I think it's super neat just to see everything that happens at that festival. And it's one that I haven't gotten to do a whole lot, maybe just once or twice since they've started it, but I am actually going to get to be there on opening day for this year's festival, and I'm super pumped about that because it's been a while since I've gone, and I want to check out all the things that they've added to it since the last time I was there, including this. A full lineup for Disney on Broadway concert series has been announced for the Epcot Festival of the Arts. And what I enjoy about this, I'm not going to read the full lineup, by the way, just because that's going to take forever and I don't really know most of the people. But that's one of the things I like about this, though, is that, you know, you have this concert series that they normally do for each festival. You know, you have the Eat to the Beat at Food and Wine. You have the Garden Rocks series at Flower and Garden. And then you don't necessarily have like a concert series at Festival of the Holidays, but you do have the Candlelight Processional. Now, at each of those things, you do either have major celebrities coming in, like Neil Patrick Harris or Jodie Benson, to read the Candlelight Processional, or you have people like Boys to Men, or I think I saw the Pointer Sisters one time, or Casting Crowns coming to the other concert series at the other festivals. You know, you're having some pretty major names come to these events to sing and to read and to do all this stuff. But this one, as I was reading through the list, I kind of noticed, man, a lot of these people I actually don't recognize. Now, I'm not like the biggest Broadway fan, but I didn't recognize most of the names on the list. And actually, a lot of them, while they have been in some Disney stuff, you know, some Disney shows, it's not necessarily like all the stuff they've been in is all Disney. And so I think this is a super unique concert series where you'll get to go see some people who just genuinely love to do Broadway. And I think if you are a Broadway person or maybe just interested in Broadway shows, you should go check out this concert series and maybe make it a point to try to take a trip earlier in the year to Disney to try to go to the Festival of the Arts, because you'll get a chance to do some, like I said, some really unique stuff like this. And so I'm super excited about this. I hope that they have somebody performing on the 12th. That's really cool, because I'd love to check it out while I'm there for opening day of the festival. And then last but certainly not least, that's all the news that we have for today. But I did not have time to get up a poll for the question of the week on our Instagram. However, I was able to pull up this, and it was from a Twitter account, or X, whatever you're calling it now. And it was a poll that they presented to their followers talking about Disney, because they just had the earnings call for this quarter or whatever, where they announced, obviously, all the money that the company is making. And of course, Bob Iger went on there and, you know, just fluffed about how good everything was doing because the parks were bringing in a ton of money for the company. And he said this, and it said, in today's earnings call, Iger said guest satisfaction in the parks is up versus pre-pandemic ratings. How would you rate your park experience today? And the three options given were, it's better than 2019, it's worse than 2019, and couldn't say either way. Y'all, almost 70% of the responders voted for worse than 2019, with the only other one coming close with about 30% was couldn't say either way. Now, I think I tend to side with the worse than 2019 friends, not because it's miserable. Like, don't get me wrong, the parks are not miserable, okay? Like, I still go and have a good time, but I'm also open-minded enough to realize, like, just kind of how ridiculous some things are right now. Like, all the price increases that have been just absolutely insane. The fact that Genie Plus got introduced was just another way. I mean, we all saw it coming, and I think it was something that we weren't going to be able to avoid. You know, Universal's been using a paid Fast Pass system forever. Six Flags uses a paid Fast Pass system. Most theme parks in America use a paid Fast Pass system. But just the fact that Genie A costs so much and then B is just so confusing has just made a really bad just overall vibe. Then on top of that, you add in the fact that you have just a lot of cuts that have been made to the company over the last couple of years. So you're really understaffed at a lot of big events and stuff like that. And you can really feel it sometimes. Like, you can really feel just how crazy the parks are without a lot of cast members there to really help control things. And so that's why I tend to side with our friends that voted for worse than 2019. Not to say that it's just terrible, but it's not great. Like, there's just a lot of things that need to improve. And we're getting some perks back, like the free overnight parking for resort guests, or, you know, the fact that all day park hopping is coming back in 2024, all those things, right? All those good things. The park pass reservation system is going away in 2024. But I just feel like for Bob Iger to say this is just a little bit, I don't know what the right word is, maybe disillusioned, because while it is not terrible, like, it's just not as fun as it was, you know, especially for people who, you know, this is maybe one of the few times they're ever going to get to go to Disney. Like, it's just, it's so much more confusing now. You have so many more frustrations that you have to deal with. Mobile ordering being your primary thing. Not everybody knows how to do that or understands how to do that. Dining reservations have always been kind of complicated for some reason for people to understand how to get that. It's just one of those things that there's just a big learning curve to Disney now that used to not be there. And I just wish we could get back to where it was just simple and you could just show up and have a good time. And I just think it's weird that Bob Iger would assume that everything's just all hunky-dory because the parks made like $90 billion or something ridiculous like that. So, yes, people are coming and people are spending a lot of money, but it's because it's super freaking expensive right now. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'll lay that out for you all to think over and just, do you agree? I mean, is the parks not as good now as it was pre-pandemic in 2019? I would love to hear your thoughts on that. So hit us up on the Instagram if you want to let us know about that. But now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear an ad spot for the Magic Candle Company, and then we'll be right back with my preview of my upcoming Disney trip. Hey there, Disney fans. Are you ready to immerse your home in some of your favorite scents from the Disney parks? Well, look no further than Magic Candle Company, our podcast magical partner. Transform your space with handcrafted candles that capture the essence of Disney parks, resorts, and even classic attractions. From the sweet scent of Main Street USA to the adventurous aroma of Pirates of the Caribbean, Magic Candle Company brings the magic to you. Visit magiccandlecompany.com and use the code DMW for a 15% off discount on your order. That's right, use the code DMW at checkout for a 15% off discount on your order. Illuminate your world with the magic of Disney. Brought to you by the Magic Candle Company and the Disney My Way podcast. Okay, my friends, so here we go with my preview for my upcoming Disney World trip. Obviously, I'm excited as I always am, but I think even more so this time because I have not been during the Christmas season in probably 7 years, I think. I believe it was the Christmas of 2016. We went maybe the week or two before Christmas as a family in 2016, and it was awesome. We had a great trip. I remember it was just a ton of fun. Christmas is my favorite holiday by far, and so I'm super pumped to be able to go during the Christmas season when everything's decorated, but especially because I'm going the week after Thanksgiving. So if I had gone the week of Thanksgiving or even the week before Thanksgiving, I think it would have felt a little bit weird for me to be so, you know, into Christmas because, you know, knowing that Thanksgiving is still got to happen. So I'm really glad that I'll be able to get through Thanksgiving and then be able to fully enjoy the Christmas time festivities at Disney. And again, nobody does Disney like Christmas. Nobody does Christmas like Disney does. Disney goes all out. You have the multiple trees, you know, everywhere. You have the different big time activities going on at all of the parks, and it's just super fun to be able to go during that time of the year. And so there's several things that I have on the docket, and so I'm going to go through where I'm going to be staying, some of the places I have lined up to eat, kind of some of my goals that I have for the week, and then I'm going to preview obviously the two big events that I have for the week that I'm there, which is Jollywood Nights over at Hollywood Studios and then Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party over at Magic Kingdom. Now, of course, we will be vlogging everything that I'm doing over that week. So if you are not already, go make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. You can either look up Disney My Way on YouTube and you'll be able to find our channel. Make sure to subscribe, or there should be a link down in the show notes below. And if there's not, I'll make sure to add it so you guys can follow along with the adventure with me. So we'll start with where I'm going to be staying for the week. And of course, this is probably not going to surprise a lot of you, but I am staying at Pop Century, my absolute favorite value resort by far. Now, at first, I was actually going to go stay over at All Star Music just because I hadn't stayed at the All Stars, I think, in a while. I stayed maybe one night last year at All Star Movies with Mom on a trip that I took, but it really wasn't like for a week. And so I was planning to go to All Star Music, but then as Disney often does, they dropped a huge discount right after I booked that original room at All Star Music. And so I had my mom helping me because she's my travel agent on a lot of this stuff. She worked back through the numbers and actually came out to where I was paying just $100 more to go over to Pop than I was originally going to spend to book a room over at All Star Music. So we made the switcheroo and I am now going to be at Pop Century. And probably the biggest reason why I chose to stay at Pop Century this time, other than just the fact, as you guys know, that I love it, is because I think it's going to help my life to be a lot simpler the week that I'm there. We talk about it all the time, but transportation can be really, really tricky sometimes going around Disney property. So a lot of times you want to consider what you're doing that week and the best option for you and/or your family, depending on who's going with you, right? And so for me, as you guys are going to hear, I'm going to have some stuff that I plan on doing over at Caribbean Beach. I obviously have Jollywood Nights over at Hollywood Studios. And so I just felt like it was going to be a lot better for me to have the Skyliner right there so I can just hop on over to Caribbean Beach, where the main station for the Skyliner is, and then be able to just go right on over to Hollywood Studios for Jollywood Nights. That way I'll be able to hopefully take, I don't know if it's going to be open, it should be, but hopefully I'll be able to take the Skyliner back to Pop Century following Jollywood Nights and be able to have a much easier ride home than trying to fight probably the huge crowds of people going over towards the buses and things like that. So for me, it was all about the ease of being able to transport myself from place to place, and then also just the fact that Pop is one of my favorites. Now, I think, too, this is going to work out great because the other All-Star resorts, the other value resorts near that same price category, they share a bus line to a lot of these parks, including the Magic Kingdom. And so I think it's going to work out better for me, too, to be at Pop Century, because on the night that I have the Very Merry Christmas Party, instead of having to hop on a bus and wait through, you know, one or two stops at the other All-Star resorts, potentially, I'm going to be able to have my own bus line back to Pop Century and not have to fight through just probably the millions and millions of people that are going to be staying at the All-Star resorts that week. So I am super pumped to be staying at Pop Century, and I think it's going to be great. And again, it plays into just my plans for the week. And I think that's something you have to factor in wherever you decide to stay on your Disney trips. So now we're going to move on, though, to places that I'm eating. This also took quite the adventure throughout the planning process because I essentially just threw a lot of darts at the wall. I had maybe one or two places in mind that I wanted to get, and a lot of those worked out, but there are some that I'm going to have to probably negotiate out of. So I'll explain what I mean. So the first one that I have is a dinner at Olivia's over at Old Key West. Old Key West is one of my favorite, and I would say it's slightly underrated, resorts. Now it is a Disney, it's the original Disney Vacation Club resort, which means you are going to you are going to pay a pretty penny for staying there, but if you rent points, you could end up actually getting a really good deal on Old Key West rooms. And I think sometimes too, you know, it goes through different seasons where it's not as busy as others. So especially when you're renting points to stay there, you're going to get a really, really good deal. And I could give more details about that resort, but I'll save that maybe for a different episode. But I love Old Key West. I loved staying there. I think that's actually where we stayed the last time I went in 2016 around Christmas. It's a beautiful resort, but I'm eating at Olivia's over at Old Key West because I've heard it's one of the more affordable, but one of the more underrated restaurants on property. So not only is it at one of the most underrated resorts, it's an underrated meal. And it's nothing like too extravagant or exquisite. It's very simple comfort foods. You're going to have your fried chickens, you know, stuff like that on the menu. But I'm super pumped because one of the goals that I have for the week, I'll go ahead and share that here, is I want to try out some different restaurants that maybe some of you would consider trying, because maybe you don't want to go eat at the Le Cellier's of the world or over at the Gico's of the world or the Yachtsman Steakhouses, because maybe you just say to yourself, I can't budget myself to spend that much money on a single meal. And I understand. Like, I totally do. And I want you guys to be able to recognize that there are really good meals to be had on property that aren't going to break the bank for you. And you can have a really high quality dinner, a really good date night dinner with somebody at a place that maybe you weren't thinking about before because it's at a resort or something you've never really heard to or been to before. And maybe, yeah, it's a little bit, you know, cheaper than what you were expecting, or maybe it's not as extravagant as what you were maybe thinking about, but you're going to get a really good meal for a really good price point. And so Olivia's is what I'm hoping is going to be that. Now, I've had a lot of friends that have gone to Olivia's before. They absolutely rave about it. So I'm going to go ahead and throw out that I'm predicting that Olivia's will probably be one of my favorite meals that I have that week, just because I think there's some complaints with the other ones. And so I think there's definitely a case that Olivia's might be my favorite meal by the end of the week, just from overall the quality of the food, because I've heard it's just that good. So I am super pumped to be going to Olivia's. But then I also have a dining reservation at Caribbean Beach at Sebastian's Bistro. Now, Sebastian's Bistro is a Caribbean-themed restaurant, so you're going to have some more exquisite flavors. And what makes this restaurant unique is, again, this is a much more budget-friendly option. This is $38 per person. And why I say that so confidently is because it is one of your, you know, all-you-care-to-enjoy type of meals. So you sit down and you say, hey, I want, you know, this Taste of the Caribbean platter. And they're going to come out with a platter of food that is all, you know, Caribbean food. And you can enjoy as much of it as you want. If you want more of something, you can ask for that. They'll go back to the kitchen and bring it out for you. $38 per person, though. And so I am thinking that this is going to be a good experience. I'm not saying that I think it's going to be bad, but I've heard Sebastian's has kind of gone through some changes since it first opened. And when it first opened, everybody went gangbusters for it. I mean, everybody was just absolutely foaming at the mouth to go eat there because of how good it was and the great price point that it was at. And then it kind of went through some renovations. They kind of changed up some things about how they did the meal. And so it drew a little bit of the heat off of the restaurant, and so people weren't as crazy for it. But I'm expecting this to still be a good meal, just maybe not my favorite meal. Now, I am not a very picky eater, and I do have a pretty adventurous palate, so I'm not thinking that like the food is going to like scare me in any kind of way. I'm not afraid of going and eating some Caribbean-styled food, but I am thinking this is going to be one of my more like out-there meals for the week as well. I think this is going to be a very, very interesting experience. And so I think it's going to be a good one, though. And so I'm excited about that. And then my last dining reservation that I'm going to use for the week is over at Epcot, and that is Space 220. Now, I have been dreaming of getting a Space 220 reservation since they announced the restaurant prior to the 50th anniversary kicking off. I have never been able to land a reservation there before, but I finally did. And now, this restaurant's been open for several years now, and so there's been a ton of people who have reviewed it, including friends of mine. And they all kind of land on the same point, which is the food is not great, but the experience is one that you have to have. And so I'm going into this with the expectation of that exact thing. That the food there is probably not going to blow me away in any kind of way. But the experience overall of having the meal there with the elevator ride up to the quote-unquote space station and just everything, the atmosphere and the ambiance and everything that goes into it, I think that is going to be what takes my breath away. I think that's what's going to wow me about this meal. Not necessarily the food, but the overall experience. And yes, that is going to probably be a little bit disappointing, but I'm also maybe hoping that maybe something will happen and the food will actually be a little bit better than what I'm expecting. But I do have probably the lowest expectations on this meal, but I am excited for it. And also, this meal lands on the same day that I'm going to the Very Merry Christmas Party. So I'm also hoping that it's a good enough meal that's going to hold me over, because once we get to the Christmas party, and I'll talk about this when I get to it, normally the parties don't have very good food at them. And so I'm hoping this will be a big enough and a good enough meal where then I can just go over to the Christmas party and just kind of pick on some snacks, kind of just do some other things, and then not have to worry about getting a full meal either before the party starts or during the party. So I am super pumped about getting to do that instead of having to worry about getting to Magic Kingdom super early, grabbing something to eat, and then getting the snacks during the party. So that does excite me a little bit, that I won't have to worry about that. But I am excited to get to try Space 220. Now, before I move on, I will say this. I also got a reservation as I was throwing darts on the wall, just kind of grabbing whatever landed, you know, at me during my booking process. I was able to grab a reservation for Roundup Barbecue over at Hollywood Studios, but there was a couple things that threw me off of actually going through and doing the dining reservation. And that is, number one, it is not overly expensive for, you know, a sit down meal. It's about, I think, $45 a person, so I don't think this was one that was, like, overly priced. But at the same time, I know from people that I have watched on vlogs, and also people that have gone to the restaurant already, that I just don't think it's the right time for me to go right now. Especially when I have so many other things lined up for the week. It was the easiest one for me to say, hey, you know what, actually, I'm not going to do that one. I'm going to go ahead and drop that one out. Of the other four, or the other three that I have, I feel confident about dropping this one because it is a ton of food for one person. Like, you're getting your salads, you're getting the four sides, you're getting this huge plate of food where you've got brisket and chicken and ribs and all these things, and then a dessert as well. And so after all of that, I'm not going to feel good about going there on my own and eating, you know, so much food. You know, I'm not. It doesn't matter if it's a late dinner or what. I'm not going to feel good about eating all of that food. And honestly, I'm going to feel like I'm wasting money, you know, this time at least, going there and trying to eat all that by myself. Now, I will say this too. I did grab one. I'm going back to Disney in January around a time I'm going to a conference. So I'm going to spend a couple days before the conference there and a couple days after the conference there as well. And so with that, I am planning on going to Roundup Barbecue during that time, just because, you know, I want to at least try it at some point. And I was able to get another reservation for it in January. So that was another part of the reasoning as to why I decided to drop it for this trip, was because I said, hey, you know what, I think this is going to be a reservation that I'm going to be able to grab more regularly. Like I said, I've never been able to get a Space 220 reservation. So that was almost like a, yeah, duh, you have to get this one and you have to keep it, because who knows when one of these is going to drop again. But as for Roundup Barbecue, I just said, you know what, it just doesn't feel right doing that this week. I'm going to go ahead and move on from it, and I'll go again another time, and I'll probably be able to grab a reservation for it, and I was. So I don't feel bad about dropping that for this time, just because it's going to all work out the way it needs to. So that's my dining for the week. And so overall dining wise, I think it's going to be a good week of meals. Now, obviously, when I went back in March, Citrico's and Yachtsman Steakhouse were phenomenal. And I'm not going to say it's going to compare in terms of quality to those, but I think I'm going to have two really solid meals that are not going to break the bank that I'm going to feel really good about going to and trying for the first time. And then I think I'm going to have another meal where, yeah, maybe the food isn't as stellar, but I'm going to have a really great experience that makes up for it. So dining wise, I feel really good about. Now, as for my other goals for the week, obviously we have the two big parties that I'm going to talk about in just a second. But I think for the other parts of the week, some of the things that I'm planning on doing for just the purpose of being able to come back and talk about them with you guys and also being able to put them on the vlog for people to see is going to some of the different resorts. You guys know I love to resort hop. I love to go check out different places. But a friend of mine actually texted me a couple months back and said, you know, there's a lot of fun things to do at the resorts that I think people just don't realize that are there. You know, you have different painting classes, you have the movie on the lawn or at the pool under the stars, you know, you have some places that will roast s'mores and do that kind of stuff. She was like, there's a lot of fun things to do at these resorts that I don't feel like a lot of people take advantage of. So I'm hoping on the Tuesday that I'm there, because my Jollywood Nights party on Monday will go until about 12:30, which means by the time I get home and get done editing the vlog, it'll probably be about 1:30 to maybe 2 a.m. I'm planning on spending that Tuesday more as a chill day, where I get to go to some of the different resorts and show you guys, maybe even if I don't do what they have to offer that day, I will at least show you guys some of the different things and maybe get to try them out a little bit for myself as well and actually go experience some of these things. And then also, I'm planning to spend a little bit more time that day at Disney Springs. I've noted this probably about a million times. I never go to Disney Springs as much as I probably should and get the kind of rest that going to Disney Springs just allows for you during a long park week. And so I plan on going to Disney Springs, walking around, kind of doing an update vlog while I'm there, maybe trying out some places that I haven't tried there before, and just kind of seeing what there is down there this time around. So I'm pumped about being able to do that as well. And so that's something that's on the agenda kind of for the week. But again, I think one of the biggest things I want to do on this trip, something that I was kind of thinking about after the last time I was there, and, you know, I spent a ton of money on Citrico's and Yachtsman Steakhouse, and I just felt like, oh boy, I dropped so much money on this trip just doing these two things. I want to show you guys, I think this time, how to be able to kind of use your budget wisely and not necessarily feel like you have to pay the big bucks to get the best experiences. And I'm hoping I'll be able to do that through some of these things that I'm going to get to do on this upcoming trip. So I'm super pumped about it, and I'm excited to share everything with you all. So, but then of course, we have kind of the biggest two things that are going on during the week that I'm there, for me at least, and probably for content purposes, and what you guys are going to be the most excited to both hear about and watch on the vlogs, and that is Jollywood Nights over at Hollywood Studios and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party over at Magic Kingdom. So we'll start with Jollywood Nights, because I know that probably a lot of you that are listening, much like myself, consume a lot of Disney content. Like, when we're not at the parks, I'm oftentimes watching vlogs, listening to other podcasts, just checking other things. And a lot of the initial reviews for the first Jollywood Nights were not great. In fact, a lot of people say it was one of the worst opening nights for an event in quite some time. And I will say, after I've watched several different sources' vlogs, I've watched a couple different people's reviews on stuff. I will say, it does seem like Disney advertised, in a way, some of this stuff to be a little bit different than it ended up being on the night when it actually kind of premiered and rolled out. But I'm still expecting it to be fun. Like, I'm still expecting to have a good time. I think I just have to kind of lower my expectations. You guys probably remember, I was pretty pumped just a couple weeks back about Jollywood Nights and just everything that could come along with going to the party. And after this first one, I'm not necessarily dreading it. Like, I'm not necessarily saying, like, I'm going to walk into Jollywood Nights thinking I'm going to have the crappiest night of all time. But I am walking in now with more of an eye where I'm more aware of, hey, actually, maybe this isn't going to be as smooth or maybe as, like, great as I first anticipated it to be. And also, I think my approach now is going to be a lot different to the party. I was hoping to come in to the party and go to the Jazz Lounge over at the Brown Derby, go to the one over by the Hollywood Tower of Terror. I was hoping to go maybe ride some of the rides and get on with shorter wait times and all these things. But after watching the vlogs and kind of hearing what some people have already said are the highlights for them at this event and also some of the low points, I think my approach has changed a little bit. Because now I'm actually really excited to go do the Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas sing-along show. I think that's going to be a ton of fun to go to. And then, of course, you have the show that is hosted by Miss Piggy and Kermit and some other Disney friends over at the Theater of the Stars, where the Beauty and the Beast show is held. And I'm super pumped about that, too. But because those things each eat up about 20 minutes for one show, 30 minutes for the other. So you're talking about close to an hour-ish, I guess, for these two shows. And it's a four-hour event. That's probably actually going to be where I hit first. Like, I think my plan of attack now is to go into that and go watch those shows first. Because if I don't, I think I'm going to fall behind a little bit. I think I'm going to fall behind the eight ball because a lot of people are rushing to the Brown Derby first. And the problem that I have with the Brown Derby is I thought this was going to be kind of a come and go type of thing where, hey, once you get in line and they call you in, you'll be able to go to the, you know, hang out at the jazz club, quote unquote, and walk around, maybe get some of the, you can go up and order a quick bite, you know, whatever. But what it's turned out to be is you actually go in and sit down at the Brown Derby and eat. You don't just go in and grab a quick bite and then, you know, and then exit. They actually sit you down at a table and give you full table service. And I'm sorry, but that's not what I'm interested in. That is not what I'm interested in a four-hour event. I am interested in going and doing as much as I possibly can at these events. And so, in like I said, those two shows alone are going to take up maybe like an hour. So if I'm sitting there at the Brown Derby, and some people were in there for upwards of an hour or longer sometimes. If I'm in there eating for a whole hour, just because I have to wait on the table service and I have to wait on the food and I have to do all this stuff, then I'm already eating up my time on stuff that's not really party exclusive. Yeah, the menu is slightly different for the party, but it's stuff that, like, you know, is Brown Derby type food. Like, I can maybe get a version of it somewhere else at some point in time. So I'm not stressing myself out as much now about going to the Brown Derby. Now, I probably will still stop by the Tower of Terror jazz club experience. But the problem is as somebody who does not necessarily consume the alcohol, I am not expecting to have like the greatest experience of my life over there, because pretty much it's just a line to get to the cart where you order your drinks. That's pretty much what that whole experience over there is. It's just a line to go up and get your drinks, and then you go listen to the jazz music. So I will probably head over there and listen to the jazz music for a little bit, but I'm probably not going to spend as much time there now as I thought I was, because I do not consume the main product that they want you to go over there and get, which is a little sad. But I also know that this event is aimed a little bit more towards adults anyways. So I'm not shocked that that is something there. I'm not like saying I'm mad at Disney about this. I don't want you to read into that. I just know that since I do not partake in that, that I'm probably going to miss out on certain parts of this party. And I think after watching people's vlogs, I kind of come to that conclusion that, hey, I may not enjoy everything about this as I once thought I was. Just because I think the experiences have turned out different than Disney has promised. But also because after watching what some people have done at the parties and just their experiences with it, I think I'm going to have to alter my approach so I actually get out of the party feeling like I've accomplished a good bit. So now Disney has tried to change some things up since the disastrous start. They've added in a few more check-in stations. They've added in some new character meet and greets, including Jiminy Cricket, Santa Duffy, Santa Stitch. So they've added in some different elements to try to help, I think, improve the party a little bit so far. And I'm hoping by the time I get down there that they will have improved it even more. But just know for right now, my expectations for that is that I'm going to have fun and that I'm going to have a good time. But I don't know if at the end of the night I'm going to feel like that price tag that I paid for it and that the time that I'm going to be spending there is necessarily like super worth it, you know? I think that's kind of the prediction I'm giving is that I'm going to have a good time at Jollywood Nights, but not a great time at Jollywood Nights. So we'll see how that ends up. Again, there's a lot of time between now and when I actually go to the party, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Now, as for the other party, the Very Merry Christmas party over at Magic Kingdom, I definitely think I'm going to have a much better experience there. And here's why. Because this has been something that they've been doing for a long time. So by all means, everybody's saying that it works like clockwork. They have it down to a science. And so I think the shows there are going to be incredible. The fireworks show, the stage show, all of those things. I think some of the fun things that are party exclusive, like getting to grab the cookies, you know, and the hot chocolate throughout the park as free snacks, you know, are going to be fun. But I think, too, my approach to this is going to be a lot different than even the parties I've been to before, because I've never been to the Very Merry Christmas party. I just want to go ahead and throw that out now. I've only ever been to the Not So Scary Halloween party. And the Not So Scary Halloween party, I kind of knew what to expect and kind of what to think was going to happen. But with this one, I'm going in totally blind, except for maybe one or two vlogs that I've watched so far. And so my approach for this, I think, is going to be a little bit different. With Not So Scary Halloween Party, I was a lot more focused on going on rides, maybe getting some candy here and there, and maybe, you know, if a specialty character happened to pop up that was cool to meet, I was going to maybe meet them. But for the most part, I was sticking with the rides and the snacks and all those things. Well, I think this time I'm going to avoid the snacks because I think just with the fact that you get the free cookies and the free hot chocolate and the free apple cider throughout the night that you can just go up and grab, they're already ready. You don't necessarily have to wait for them to prepare it. I think between that and just the fact that I was very disappointed in the Not So Scary Halloween party food the last time I was there, I think I'm going to avoid the major snacking for the night. I might grab one or two snacks just so I'm actually getting something to eat while I'm walking around the park all night. But I'm not going to focus so heavily on getting those specialty treats because I think I'm going to end up wasting time doing that, especially when there's free snacks that they're handing out throughout the night, like I mentioned before. So I definitely think that's one thing I'm not doing. I also think that I'm not going to go into this one actually focusing on the rides. And that might shock you all because I'm a huge ride guy, but I say that because the ride overlays for this time don't really intrigue me. The one at Space Mountain, essentially where you get to ride it with the lights on, that's a nightmare-like fuel ride. I do not like Space Mountain, as you guys know, and so I would never get on that ride if I knew that I might potentially be able to see everything. I rode it at the Not So Scary Halloween party because they turned all the lights off. And that was perfect. I loved that. But I'm not going to ride it at the Very Merry Christmas Party because of the fact that there's all these extra lights and stuff. And so I'm not interested in that. The Mad Tea Party also has an overlay. I'm not interested in doing that. The little go-karts over at the Tomorrowland Speedway has an overlay on it. I'm not really interested in doing that. You have the Jingle Cruise, which is super fun, and I love the Jingle Cruise, but you can also do the Jingle Cruise during the park day. So I'm going to try to do that on one of my park days to Magic Kingdom, or maybe even before the party starts, because it's running all day long during the Christmas season. So the one ride overlay that I'm actually really excited to do, I'm not really going to care about. Now, I might still go ride like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Pirates of the Caribbean, a couple of these other things, because they're fun rides and I'm going to want to ride some rides while I'm at the party. But I just don't think it's going to be a focus of mine. Like, I'm not going to wait 25 minutes for Space Mountain or 20 minutes to go into Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor because they have a quote-unquote holiday overlay attached to them this time. I just don't think that these are going to be as worth it as the Not-So-Scary Halloween Party ones were. However, I also think that I'm going to enjoy the parades and the specialty shows at this one a lot better than the Not-So-Scary Halloween Party ones. I liked the shows a lot at the Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. I loved the Hocus Pocus stage show. The Hocus Pocus stage show was incredible. I thought the fireworks were great. I thought the parade, the Boo to You parade, was really cool. But I think I'm going to absolutely love the Christmas parade, and I think I'm going to love the Christmas fireworks and the Christmas stage show that they have this year. And so I'm super pumped about those. So I think I'm actually going to spend a lot of time more so just trying to stake out spots to be able to enjoy those from, just because I haven't gotten to do those before. I've never been to this party before. I've never seen these shows before. And so I'm going to want to actually get a good spot, A, to be able to film it, but also to be able to actually see it and enjoy my experience watching the shows. So I'm really looking forward to actually being able to sit down and watch those. And you guys know, I'm not a huge nighttime spectacular guy. I'm more so like I'm going to go ride rides during the fireworks. But at the parties, I think it's definitely important to watch the shows and the parades and all those things. So I'm definitely excited to do that. But I think my whole approach to this is, like, I love Christmas. I don't think any park there is going to do Christmas better than the Magic Kingdom. And so my prediction is I'm going to have an absolute blast at the Very Merry Christmas Party. And even if maybe I don't do everything there, I still think there's going to be so much there that I do get done that I'm going to feel really great about the night as a whole. And that's actually how I'm going to wrap up my week. That week is at the Very Merry Christmas Party. So I'm super pumped about getting to end the week on such a high note. And especially because I think it's just after the calendar turns to December too. So that's going to be a really big kickoff to Christmas for me. But that is everything that I'm doing on this upcoming trip. I am super pumped. If there's anything that you guys want to suggest for me to do or want to throw out that maybe I can try to get done on a vlog or maybe just to do as a personal experience, please let us know. You can hit us up on the Instagram at Disney My Way Podcast. I would love to interact with you guys. Of course, make sure to go down to the show notes below and you can check out the link to the Magic Candle Company. You can check out the link to go book a magical vacation with Myra. If any of this sounds like stuff you would want to do, she would love to help you book a trip. Right now is an awesome time to go. There's some big discounts coming in the spring. So now's the time to start planning. But until next time, we hope you guys have a magical rest of your day. And we'll talk to you again real soon.